You have just connected with the most magical and remarkable radio show for individuals who have the symptoms of Parkinson's disease. I'm Robert Rogers, and this is Parkinson's Recovery. I have a vision that the time will come soon when all people who experience the symptoms of Parkinson's disease will know in their heart, soul, and mind that they will recover. I have a vision that all people who have been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease will know their bodies are simply giving them the gift of information that something is out of balance. I have a vision that all people think of their symptoms as a new beginning. You will not be disappointed from listening to this entire show, because this is truly and genuinely a remarkable story of recovery and embodies what is possible for anyone. My guest today is Sue Richard. Sue, thank you so much for being with us today.
My pleasure, Robert.
Tell us about yourself.
Well, let's see. I'm 52. I'm grateful and postmenopausal now. So I've made it through the ordeal of menopause and wrote everything that I experienced along the way on my blog. So if people want to know about that, they can read about it in Technicolor. I live in Ontario. I'm an artist and an entrepreneur. I'm recovering from Parkinson's.
Tell us about the symptoms of Parkinson's, for example, when you were diagnosed, symptoms, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, my Parkinson's came about in a moment in time. I was having a particularly stressful year. It was 2002. I had lost a project that I was working on, failed miserably in the financial sense of the word, and I lost quite a sizable sum of money, which was actually my life savings, which was a real bummer. And then that sort of snowballed into my relationship with my partner breaking down, and him and his children left. And then a few weeks later, my dog died. And when my dog died, she was in my arms, and the vet was putting the needle in her to euthanize her. And the minute she passed, I started shaking. And I have pretty much been shaking for the last 8 years. And other symptoms, of course, have developed since then as well. But it was like I had this, my central nervous system blew a gasket. That's kind of what it felt like. I just completely had a meltdown, complete and total meltdown. And I just couldn't handle any more stress, any more trauma, any more anything. It was just a complete, total breakdown. And so that's how it began. When I went to my first neurologist to find out what the heck was going on with me, he diagnosed me with a stress disorder, which in part is accurate, because Parkinson's certainly is a stress disorder. But he didn't diagnose me with Parkinson's. So I spent the next few years, the next 4 or 5 years, pursuing every possible modality that I could to help me reduce my stress and you know, bring that down in my body and help to ease my central nervous system. But that didn't seem to quite work completely, although it did keep my symptoms at bay for a while. But then again, about 3 years ago, I guess, yeah, it's just a little over 3 years ago that I went to see another neurologist, and this chap diagnosed me with Parkinson's. So since then, I've been focused more on modalities specific to recovering from Parkinson's.
What was your reaction upon first hearing the news from this second neurologist that you were diagnosed with Parkinson's disease?
Well, it was kind of interesting, actually. I'm a wilderness canoeist, and I had been away for a week with a friend in the bush canoeing and camping and whatnot, and the day after I came home from that, I was going to see this neurologist. So I was feeling pretty good about myself. I was feeling pretty strong, and I was feeling, even though I had symptoms, I certainly didn't feel like I had a progressively degenerative neurological disorder that was incurable. So I arrived at this neurologist's office and with a friend, and he did the half dozen little tests that you do, pushing the person over from the back, the front, the reflexes, that whatnot. And I guess I showed poorly in four of those areas, and he pronounced me as being diagnosed with Parkinson's. And he said, but I guess you know all about that. I'm sure you've done lots of research. Of course, I hadn't done a thing, because I didn't have Parkinson's. You know, I wasn't researching Parkinson's. So he started to draw something on this little piece of paper in front of him, and he started to say the words progressively degenerative neurological disorder that was incurable. And as soon as he got to the incurable part, I didn't actually do this, but metaphorically speaking, I put my fingers in my ear and I started humming.
Like a child would do.
I'm not listening to you. You're not the boss of me.
I
just thought, screw that. There's no possible way I've got something that's incurable.
What was he drawing on the paper when he was...
He was, I believe he was drawing out how my dopamine was tanking in my body.
Oh.
So the way the dopamine system goes down, and then he was, of course, suggesting that I go on L-DOPA or whatever, some form of drug, and then he was showing some slight increase in dopamine as a result of that, but then inevitably the big tank after that. So, I mean, it wasn't a pretty picture. And he was smiling away, you know, and talking to me as though we were discussing a recipe for lasagna or something. It was crazy. And the woman that I took with me was... She took it more seriously than I did, I think, because I just wouldn't allow it. I guess I was in denial. I was totally in denial, and I just wasn't going to accept that information. And I think that's the best thing that I could have done, actually, to be quite frank. To this day, I haven't believed for a moment that it's irreversible or incurable or progressively degenerative. Especially given the way my Parkinson's started. It was clearly a result of emotional trauma, and I've certainly had my share of emotional trauma over the course of my life, and I figured it was just a matter of releasing that trauma and sorting out the emotional baggage that I needed to sort out and get my central nervous system functioning properly again. Now, I was perhaps a little flippant about that, because it's taken me a long time to get that ship turned around, but I do believe I've in fact turned it around, and I'm progressively regenerating right now. So it's a good thing.
When the doctor recommended certain medications, did you decide to try those out, or?
Oh no, absolutely not. No, I thanked him profusely for his suggestion, and I left the office without a prescription. I went back again. I guess he wanted to see me 4 months later. And between the first appointment with him and the second appointment with him, I had the great fortune of coming across a group of Chinese doctors in California who, I'm not sure whether you've interviewed them yet or had any reference on your blog to them yet, but the PDRecovery.org people.
Oh, yes.
The foot-holding people.
Yes, they're one. I've been trying to get an interview with a Janice Walton Haddock, but I have not been successful.
Oh, well, I credit them with they've jump-started my recovery, absolutely. I downloaded the entire book. I think it was 800 pages. I read it from back to front to back, and immediately had my feet assessed, and sure enough, I had a very serious foot injury that I'd never recovered from. I don't have an actual really clear memory of what it was. I have a couple of vague memories of, as a child, of having my foot quite severely injured. And I set up a team of people to hold my foot, and I've had my foot held now for 3 years, 4 to 5 times a week for an hour at a time.
Wow.
And I just actually finished a treatment this morning, my foot has dramatically improved. in all manner. It used to be, my foot was always just frozen. There was just no circulation in it ever. It was always a bit numb. I was always a bit swollen. It's no longer numb, it's no longer cold, and it's no longer swollen.
Yay!
Full range of motion. There's just a small amount of congestion around the big toe. So when I saw my Chinese doctor yesterday, he quickly and promptly stuck a needle in it, an acupuncture needle in it. So it's, it seems to be opening up again a little bit more. And I went to my second neurologist appointment with this pdrecovery.org website information in hand. In fact, I've printed off the first chapter of the book for the neurologist, and I walked in pretty proud of myself and flopped this thing down on the table and said, I won't be needing your medication. This is what's wrong, and this is what I'm going to pursue. And he said, well, whatever, fine. He's never been the type to cut me off or tell me that I'm crazy or anything like that. He's been quite open to me trying new things. He doesn't want to know what they are, but he doesn't restrict in any way, shape, or form my ideas or thoughts about what I'm doing. So I went from there doing the PD recovery program and having my foot held along with other things at the same time, but that was the primary form of treatment that I started with.
You remember then vaguely some injury that you did have when you were very young to your foot.
Mm-hmm. So what the PD recovery people believe, and what I believe as well, is that there are channels that run through your body, meridians and channels, and if there's an injury that has been unresolved, those channels can become messed up and reversed, and they change the energy in your body. And from what I understand from the PD recovery people, the stomach channel is one of the channels that goes through the foot. So what had happened is my stomach channel had absolutely and completely reversed. So I was having a hard time digesting food. I wasn't getting the proper nutrition from the food that I was eating. And this was, in fact, contributing to the symptoms of Parkinson's.
So although it looks like it's just a foot injury, it has much wider implications for the whole digestive system.
Mm-hmm. Well, in my case, it did. I don't think this is a universal thing necessarily for everyone, but certainly in my case, that's what was going on for me.
And then as the treatments evolved 3 times a week of holding the foot, then I'm guessing that the digestive system came back online.
Yes, it has come back online. So I'm getting far more bang for my nutritional buck now.
Ah, that's great. Instead of putting all this very expensive food down, but it's not going anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. It was just, it just was going in one end and out the other, quite literally.
Yeah.
But not anymore. And I can feel that difference now. I can tell that I'm getting energy from my food, because I was just exhausted, completely exhausted. Felt like for 3 years I was exhausted.
That website again is www.pdrecovery.org, and the Janice Walton Haddock and her group of wonderful therapists work out of Santa Cruz, California, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct. And the book that they've published online gives all the information and the details that one would need to learn the treatment that is required for the foot. It's called Forceless Spontaneous Release is what the actual treatment is called. Anyone could do it. I have 3 women that helped me out with it. One was a total stranger. I just sent an email out to a group of people on my healing team, and this total stranger responded, and she's been holding my foot now for a year every Friday morning. Another woman who I'd known for many years, she's in her 80s, she phoned me up 2 years ago and said, I think I want to help you out with this foot holding thing that you're doing. So she comes every Thursday, and we have lunch, and she holds my foot for an hour, and that's an absolutely lovely thing. And then my neighbor, who happens to also be a healer herself. She just came over. She was so excited when I found this information out. She came over with her massage table, set it up in my living room. It's been there for 3 years.
That's great.
And she just started showing up every other day and holding my foot for an hour and a half. And, oh, my goodness, some days it was just all I could do to get from that day to the next day, just knowing that someone was going to come and hold me. And I would lie on that table, and I would almost bounce off the table. I would be shaking so badly. And by the end of the treatment, I would be calm and relaxed and feeling supported and safe again. And oh, and then, you know, then it would ramp up, and then it would, I'd have another treatment, and it would go down, and it was just this back and forth and back and forth, but absolutely critical to the healing process for me.
You were really riding the waves, it sounds like.
Absolutely.
You actually then are saying that a person can go to the website and get all the information they need, really just from the website, to be again doing these treatments. Did you actually go down and they do all sorts of workshops in Santa Cruz? Did you have an opportunity to do that as well?
No, I've never met any of these people. I have had very brief email interaction with them. There were a couple of points where, well, I just wanted something. I wanted somebody to tell me something good, you know, because there was no real evidence that this was working. It, for a long time, it just felt like people kept holding my foot, and I just seemed to be progressively degenerating. And it, you know, I just wanted somebody to say how long. I don't know, you know, something, just something I could pin my hopes on. And I had a few responses from them back and forth, but it's very hard for them to assess me via email. But they assured me that, you know, if I kept at it, it would bear fruit in some way, shape, or form, because they had, you know, people that would recover in a year or 5 years, depending on the person, the injury, their ability to not only just have their foot held. There's a two-part, it's a bit of a two-part program. It's not just the foot holding that they recommend, but it's also the heart opening, in that one needs to allow themselves to feel very deeply the any kind of trauma that they may have had in the past, and resolve that, and just open up the heart and allow that channel to be open and warm and free. And that's a big part of what the PD recovery people encourage as well. It's a two-part recovery program.
They predicted that you were going to get some relief if you stuck with it, and it sounds like you have certainly confirmed that prediction.
Yes, indeed.
Since you were diagnosed several years ago, Sue, have you been getting better? Have you basically stayed about the same with regard to your symptoms, or have you been getting worse?
All of the above. I got sort of, it was sort of the same for a while, and then I got quite a lot worse, like significantly worse, and to the point where I wasn't able to live alone anymore. I was having difficulty getting out of bed. I couldn't wash my hair anymore. I needed personal care help. I couldn't cook for myself. I was using a wheelchair when I left the house and a walker when I was in the house. So, yes, I had the experience of sort of staying the same for a long time. And then I got worse and worse and worse. And, again, I believe quite strongly that my particular form of Parkinson's is very strongly rooted in my emotions, emotional trauma. And I had more stuff to dig through and root through, and it was not stuff that I wanted to dig through and root through, but I had to do it. And so that's what I think was creating the impression that I was getting much, much worse. So it was not an impression. I was getting much, much worse. People were quite concerned, very, very concerned. In fact, I actually I'm sure maybe not much more than a day, but for a period of time, a very short period of time, I actually believed that maybe I was wrong, and that I wasn't going to recover from this illness. And then, in fact, this was it. This was going to be the end of my life. And because I wasn't remotely interested in living my life out in some kind of institution, I'm not married. I don't have children. My parents are both dead. So there wasn't, you know, it just kind of felt like, what the heck's going to happen to me? So I prepared a will and got a personal care team together to help me in case I was in a situation where I wasn't able to make my own decisions. I kind of started tidying up my affairs, so to speak. But there was still a part of me, there was still a small part of me that said, this is crazy. This can't be it. Like, this
I'm too young.
This can't be it. There's so much more to do, and I've got so many more things that I want to see, and, you know, it's just like, this is ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. It just didn't make any sense to me. And so during this time, I went back to see the neurologist, and boy, was he annoyed with me. Oh, my goodness. He was quite annoyed when I walked in. He just looked at me. I hadn't seen him for about a year. And he looked at me, and he said, where the heck have you been? And I said, you know, I've been trying to recover from Parkinson's. And he goes, well, obviously that's not working or something like that. You know, it's like, oh, you're right, I'm such an idiot, you know. Anyways, this time when I left the neurologist's office, which was just last fall, so the fall of 2009, I did leave with a prescription. And then I didn't fill it. But I left with this prescription in my hand and came home with it, and that seemed to relieve everybody right away. So not only was I feeling horrible and losing my ability to function as an independent human being, but all my friends and my community were becoming increasingly concerned about what was going to happen to me. So this helped to sort of relieve some of that tension when I came home with the prescription. But I hadn't intended to fill it because I just was so against the idea of going on any kind of drug at all, and I just felt like it was just not the right thing for me to do. However, as time went on, as the days ticked away and we got into November, and November in Ontario is probably the bleakest month on the face of the earth. It's just nasty. It can be just nasty up here. It's just awful, awful, awful. And my mobility was continuing to go down. And my housemate at the time, who I had I'd been quite creative with my home, I had offered a free room in my home for someone, provided they cooked and did shopping and some tasks for me in return for rent. So I had a woman living with me who was doing just that, and she informed me that she was going to be moving out. And that was important. It was an important point, and when I look back, it was a very important point, and I'm very grateful to her for making that announcement and telling me that she was moving out. But at that moment, it was horrible. It was just a horrible thing, because I couldn't be alone. I couldn't live alone. I could be alone for a couple of hours in the daytime, but I just couldn't be alone nonstop. So suddenly I had this huge dilemma on my hands. I didn't know where I was going to find another roommate. There was no place for me to go. There was nobody's house that I could move into. There's no institution that I could get into quickly. I tried to make arrangements with the social services that we have available here, but they're quite lame. When it came right down to it, the waiting list was like 5 years, you know, before I could get into an assisted living situation. So it wasn't a very good scene. And so I finally relented and went on some Sinemet, a very low dose of Sinemet. And that's when things started to change. And the reason I think, and in fact, I'll fast forward to this at the very moment. I'm still on a very low dose of Sinemet. In fact, I'm decreasing my dose of Sinemet now. I've decreased it in the last 2 months, and will continue decreasing it because I'm continuing to improve. So for a very short period of time, I have been using levodopa, a small dose, and it seemed to be just exactly what was in order to get some kind of base happening in my body, just some kind of stability happening so that all the treatments that I was doing had a place to rest. I don't know if that makes sense or not to you or to your listeners, but I felt like I was doing all this work and getting all these treatments and all these supplements and all this good food and all of the all sorts of things were happening that were really, really positive and really, really good for me. But it was just kind of just going right through my body. There was still not enough of a foundation within my body for it to stick. And the levodopa just provided that much more help. And yeah, and so that's what happened. In last fall, I went on a small dose of levodopa. Miraculously, I found a new roommate who's fabulous. She's just a delight to live with. She's been extraordinarily helpful and wonderful, and I love her to bits. And things immediately started to turn around for me. When I went back to my neurologist again, which was last March, he was pleased to see my progress, and he said, "Are you satisfied with where you're at?" And I said, "Yes, quite." And in fact, I wasn't, but I just sort of thought I would say that to him because I didn't want him to tell me I needed to take more drugs. But I was using my walker. I was I still couldn't go anywhere under my own steam. I still needed help cooking, cleaning, all of that stuff. I couldn't do any of that stuff. I still couldn't live alone, but I had managed to get some independence. And he said, "Well, this should be about as good as it gets for you. So I'm glad you're happy with that." And I said, "Okay, that's great. I'm happy with that." Well, when I saw him again in July, just this July that has passed, he was speechless. He didn't know what to say because I walked into his office without my walker.
No walker.
I was perfectly mobile. I was fluid in my movements. My cognitive skills were top notch. My handwriting was excellent again. I was able to write quite clearly with a pen, which I hadn't been able to do at all the last time that I'd seen him. And he didn't know what to say. He just absolutely didn't know what to say. And all he could manage to mutter was, "I never imagined you without a walker." And I said, "Well, here I am without a walker."
There it is. Imagine it now.
And he said, "Well, I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it." And I said, "Oh, absolutely. I fully intend to keep doing it." And I said, "Now, I need some instructions from you on how to get off the levodopa." And he said, "Oh, that's easy. You just get off it the same way you get on it, nice and slow." And I said, "That's great." And he said, "You know, basically you have my blessings to do that." And I said, "That's great. And we'll see you in January." And I said, "Absolutely. I look forward to seeing you in January." So, and things since I've seen him, since I had that appointment in July, have just continued to improve dramatically. I use the word gobsmacked. They're completely gobsmacked when they see me now. They just don't know what to make of it. It's like truly miraculous. And this is with me decreasing my dosage of levodopa. So it's not the medication. The medication helped. It got me over some kind of a hurdle that I needed to get over. But now I have definitely got some very clear strength building in my body, and I have very good energy. My pulse is excellent. My blood pressure is excellent. All the things that people that I see on a regular basis deal with, every part of me is excellent. You know, I see a Chinese doctor on a weekly basis. On a bi-weekly basis. I see a chiropractor 3 times a week. I see a naturopath every week. They keep pretty close tabs on me. And they, you know, do their testing and their touching and their looking at and their poking in, and I'm good. I'm getting better every day.
You've mentioned a number of therapies that have been useful, the foot-holding therapy, the levodopa, the chiropractic, the acupuncture, the naturopath doctors. What specific therapies or treatments have helped you get relief from your symptoms other than those?
Oh, man, I've got a list as long as my arms. I think mostly, though, and again, everybody's different. So I think that the key that I have done is I have created this fabulous T team of healers. I have this incredible community around me that is like a few hundred people have joined. In fact, I called it Team Sue, and I made stickers up, and people have stickers that they wear called Team Sue. So I have Team Sue, and Team Sue has done everything from at times cook for me. I have one of my members of Team Sue does my laundry for me every other week. Another one cleans my house for me. I have members of Team Sue that provide financial support for me because I've been unable to get any kind of financial disability, and I haven't been able to work for the last 2 years. So I have people that subscribe to a website for me on a monthly basis and contribute $10 or $20 a month from their bank account directly into my bank account. And some of these people I've never met. They're just people that wanted to help out. I have healing. I have team members that drive me to my appointments. I have team members that take me to the movies, to the theater if I'm up to that, just come and hang out and have tea with me. I have this crazy thing called a wike that the community purchased for me. It's like this large utility trailer that you can attach to the back of a bicycle or push like a stroller. Usually you see children riding around in them, but they found one that was big enough for me. It's good for 130 pounds, and I'm 130 pounds, so I get put in that thing three or four times a week, or at least I was. I don't use it much anymore because I'm walking now, so that's a big improvement. And they drag this bike out into the nature somewhere and take me for rides around nature, you know, on a trail for an hour or 2 hours, hauling my big old body up and down hills. Oh, my goodness. These people were amazing. And then they also purchased a sled for me, so in the wintertime they could plunk me on this sled and push me through the same trail in the middle of the snow and wintry weather so that I could be out in nature again, which was is always been critically important to me. So having this incredible team of people and engaging my immediate community in the healing process has been, I think, the most fundamental thing that I've done. Accepting their support and learning how to receive their support with gratitude and acceptance. That's been absolutely the primary thing that I've done, I think, that has aided and abetted my healing. Then from there, then there's a ton of different types of modalities, and I can list them off. I do a lot of Alexander technique. The neighbor that I mentioned earlier that brought her massage table over is an Alexander technique teacher. An Alexander technique focuses on the skeleton and keeping the skeleton aligned and in proper alignment from tip to toe all the way around, keeping the body lengthened and widened to its maximum capacity. So that's been fabulous for me because anyone with Parkinson's knows that the rigidity of Parkinson's is probably one of the more disconcerting symptoms. And you always feel like you need a good stretch, or at least I've always felt like I just needed to be put on a rack and stretched out at the end of every day. And that's kind of what Alexander technique is, only very, very, very gentle. Everything that I do is very, very, very gentle. I don't do any modalities that are harsh or bone-crushing type stuff because it just doesn't work for me. Absolutely doesn't work. And I do cranial. I've done a lot of cranial sacral over the years. Just quite a bit of EFT, emotional.
So on cranial, you go to a therapist for cranial sacral?
Yes.
You don't do that yourself?
No, although I am trained. I did take a course in cranial, so I completely understand the premise of cranial sacral, but I have a very gifted cranial sacral therapist that I see quite regularly. He also is a herbologist and quite wonderfully, he's learned how to make macuna for me, so he makes my macuna for me, which I also take. So then I have done EFT, quite a lot of EFT, emotional freedom technique, to help release the negative emotions and outdated beliefs that I've been holding on to for 52 odd years. Further to the emotional stuff, I've done a couple of other things, one called Z Point. Or Z point, depending on whether you're an American or a Canadian. It's a very similar to emotional freedom technique, only it helps you to reframe emotional experiences and that block the healing and then release those emotional experiences as well. And it involves tapping, a little bit of tapping and a strong positive keyword and whatnot. So that's been helpful. I've been just been introduced to a new type of emotional type of a therapy called family constellations, and that is helps me to very much with ancestral sort of family issues that have gone on through the ages. So as an example, my father was quite an advanced alcoholic. In fact, alcoholism claimed his life. And there's a bit of a thread of alcoholism that runs through the family, through the history of the family. And Family Constellations has helped me to sort of sort that out a little bit more and reframe that in my mind so that I'm less of a victim and more of a person that's fully and completely responsible for the choices that I make in my life today. So that's been very helpful. I've had Reiki treatments, so that's kind of a soul-level healing type stuff. Therapeutic touch, which is a very gentle, calming energy field type thing. It calms the immediate energy field right next to the body. I use another technique called BOSS, Bio-Operational Computer System. I think that's what that one stands for. I'm not absolutely positive about that. It's pretty out there stuff. It's very energy-based healing type stuff. I call the person that I see on a regular basis my witch. So a little witchy stuff in there. Doesn't hurt. Then I see a doctor of chiropractic, but he doesn't do the bone-crunching, neck-twisting type chiropractic that everybody probably identifies with. He does something called network, which is very gentle. He helps me to connect points on my spine, along my spine, that don't seem to be connected or communicating with each other. And I see him usually, currently I'm only seeing him once a week, but when I started seeing him, I was seeing him three times a week. And I'll just mention, before I go too much farther, most of these practitioners have offered their services to me for free or greatly discounted. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One, because I comply, and from what I gather from people in the healing fields, when you get your hands on a person that complies to their suggestions, their healing suggestions, it's like a gold mine, because most people don't comply. They'll do what is recommended to them maybe once or twice or maybe for a week or two, and then they fall off the wagon and stop doing it. But I'm absolutely 100% fully compliant, so it's been exciting for people to work with me because they know I'm going to follow through and do what they suggest, and they're also really open to the things that I bring to the table, which I regularly have ideas and suggestions about what my body needs. So, yeah, I don't want people, I'm certainly not rich. In fact, I'm quite the opposite of rich. I'm just very fortunate. And I think the other reason why people have been so generous to me is because I've been a community artist in my city for many, many years, and have started a number of things in this community that are continuing on, and I guess they just want to give back, and I'm grateful for that, totally grateful for that. So, shall I continue with my list?
Oh, please.
Okay. I also have a doctor of Chinese medicine. I see him, I used to see him every 2 weeks, but now that I'm improving, we're down to seeing him, I see him every 3 weeks. And these appointments, I'll further add, I see him for an hour and a half at a time. When I see my neurologist, I get 10 minutes like every 6 months. So it's just leagues away from, you know, how does one heal with that type of attention? I don't think that's possible, but having the type of attention that I'm getting from my alternative people has just been profoundly helpful. So my Chinese doctor, with him, he provides me with a customized a set of herbs every week or every 3 weeks that I take twice a day, and then I also get an acupuncture treatment with him when I see him. And he's also very good at keeping meticulous notes about how I'm doing and where I'm at, which has proven to be quite beneficial as time has gone on, because sometimes I lose track of any improvements or my mind starts to go in a very negative direction, and he'll remind me, because he's written it down, that, you know, 3 weeks ago I said this, or 3 weeks ago I was feeling that, which might be quite the opposite to what I'm expressing to him at that moment. So that's been extraordinarily helpful, having that note-taking, because I haven't been able to do that for myself. I wasn't able to write for a couple of years. I connected in with John Coleman. I know you've interviewed him on your radio station. And I started taking the Aquas, which is something that he recommended. And that, I think, has been very helpful in helping to rehydrate myself. Because of menopause, I started doing bioidentical hormones, which I think also helps with the Parkinson's as well, just to relieve stress in the body. So that's been another part of my healing modality. At the very beginning, I went to an allergist and got a full assessment of all the allergies that I might have in my body, so as not to continue aggravating my body by inadvertently taking foods or having things in my diet that were bad for me. So that was a wise choice. I've had a million massages in the last 8 years. Regular therapeutic type massages, and as well as a very gentle type of a shiatsu massage. And boy, you gotta love a massage. You gotta love a good massage. It's one of those moments of just sink into some kind of bliss. I'm not sure where I go, but certainly far, far away, and it's a lovely, warm place. My cranial sacral therapist was very kind in purchasing something called a NitroFit exercising type machine. This is a machine that apparently astronauts use when they're in space, so people that are confined in their ability to move around or have some kind of a disability get a tremendous amount of benefit out of this machine, this NitroFit. So I use that 3 times a week. I go to his office and I stand on this thing, and it jiggles the daylights out of me, and it helps to increase my core strength, which is critical to getting well and getting stronger. I personally own something called a magnetic resonation bed, and I use that a couple times a day just for little short 8-minute treatments. And what that does, it further helps relax my body and helps my blood cells become more oxygenated so that everything flows a little more smoothly within my body. So that's just sitting in my living room on my massage table, so whenever I'm feeling a little jiggy or a little bit tense, like when I finish this radio interview, I'm going to be
my
magnetic bed and myself a zap.
That's really funny.
And then I have a naturopathic doctor. And I've done a number of things with her. I see her every week. She now comes to my home. I started to see her because she was a Bowen therapist, and John, his last name just evaded me.
Coleman, I think you...
Coleman, yes, correct, had recommended Bowen therapy. So I started out trying Bowen therapy, and we had results at the very onset, but then it plateaued very quickly. So I went from that to... starting a glutathione IV therapy with her. And so she was coming to my, and has been coming to my home now for over a year, and providing me with an IV that isn't just glutathione. It also has Bs, calcium, magnesium, selenium, I think. What else is in there? A whole bunch of stuff. Anyways, so I've been getting this IV therapy. And then I heard an interview on your radio station with a naturopathic doctor from Seattle, Lori
Mishley.
Yes. And she was talking about glutathione nasal spray. And I instantly felt like that would be a brilliant idea for me. And I've just actually been able to start that. So through my naturopathic doctor, she figured out what it was I needed. We found a compounding pharmacy here in Ontario, and I've just finished the first 2 weeks of my nasal glutathione nasal spray. Within 10 days, I noticed a difference.
Oh, great.
Yeah, absolutely noticed the difference. It's very exciting. And it's no problem. I was concerned about squirting something up my nose. I've never liked anything up my nose, anyone or anything up my nose. This has been easy peasy, not a problem at all. Just a little post-nasal drip for about 5 minutes, and then I'm good. And then within about 15 or 20 minutes, I can feel distinct improvement in my mobility and motor control.
Hallelujah.
It's wonderful. For a while, I tried physiotherapy. There was a physiotherapist in town who claimed to have the be-all and end-all treatment for people living with Parkinson's. And, maybe he does, but not for my Parkinson's. It didn't work at all. In fact, it set me back. It was way too harsh. It just wasn't gentle at all. It was just a bit way too harsh, and so I quit that. That didn't work for me at all. Whereas it might work for someone else, just like the Bowen. I mean, Bowen was very, very gentle. It just didn't seem to have the impact that we were looking for. It didn't have any impact after a very short period of time, so that's why I stopped doing that. For a while, I tried something called Brain Gym, which it's a form of neural programming. I can't really describe it in too much detail because I'm not doing it anymore. It was very expensive, and again, I just didn't feel like I was getting the bang for my buck, and I couldn't find a way of justifying the expense of it, so I stopped doing that. But I don't think it's a bad thing. It just wasn't the right thing for me at the time. And it was quite inconvenient for me to get to this particular practitioner, and yeah, it just didn't line up. It wasn't an easy process for me, so when it's not easy, I just don't pursue it, because so many things have become so easy. It just seems to me that I might as well just follow the things that are really, really, really easy to follow, and if there's lots of roadblocks in the way for me to pursue something else, that perhaps that means I shouldn't be doing it.
It's a sign.
Yeah, it's a sign.
It's easy and it works, so stay with it.
I've been taking Makuna, botanical equivalent to L-DOPA now for about 2 years, that hasn't got a huge impact, but I think it has some impact. I use it mostly at night, so I take it just before I go to bed, and then I inevitably wake up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, so I have another little blast of it then. And I think that helps me immensely with my mobility in the nighttime, so I can get a better rest, and I have better range of motion in bed, so I'm not getting numb and stiff and sore in bed. So that's how I've chosen to use the Makuna. Glad I wrote all this down. I also have a medical marijuana prescription, which we are entitled to do here in Canada. I'm not sure whether you're allowed to do that in the States or not. There was a time when my medical marijuana was something that sort of kept me from going off the deep end. Now I don't need it nearly as much. I use it almost exclusively for sleeping purposes. I get a strain that is very relaxing and just knocks me right out pretty much. So that's what I use that for. And then in the supplement department, oh, gosh, I feel like the poor people that are listening to this are going to be thinking, you've got to be joking.
Oh, no. I can assure you people are taking notes as you're talking. So.
Can't do all this. Anyways, supplement department. I take a supplement called NADH. Now, that helps me with it works on the Krebs cycle, which is the cycle of converting energy from food or food to energy. And again, because of the channel, the stomach channel being reversed and my inability to properly get the nutrition from my food, this is really, really helpful. And when I started taking that, it was back in, I think, February of this year, I immediately noticed a difference in my energy level, like dramatic increase in energy. And I have stuck to that quite religiously. I take 4 of those supplements a day, first thing in the morning. I highly recommend that. I mean, it's worked for me, really worked. And it's one of those ones that's very noticeable. Within a half an hour after taking it, I can feel a change. I've started taking citricoline, which apparently helps to increase the number of receptors in the brain so that the levodopa that you have in your system, or the dopamine that you have in your system and the levodopa that I'm taking, I'll get a bigger bang for my buck out of all of those, so I will need less levodopa. And the natural dopamine will have it'll have a greater effect on my mobility and my motor control. So I've been doing that. I take copious amounts of vitamin D, vitamin D3. I take 11,000 units a day. This is one of the things my brother, this is his contribution to my healing, but a significant one. He rides me about that. You've taken your vitamin D, right? You're taking your vitamin D, right? Doesn't care about what else I'm doing, but boy, oh boy, if I don't take my vitamin D, I've got to answer to him. So, yes, dear, I'm taking my vitamin D. So, I take CoQ10. I take selenium. I was taking adrenal support for about 3 years, and I stopped taking it recently because I don't feel that I need it anymore. It's not that it stopped being effective. It's that my central nervous system has calmed down considerably. I feel like I spend much of my time in the parasympathetic as opposed to the sympathetic nervous system, the adrenaline-based nervous system, where I used to basically live in the adrenaline-based nervous system. Now I'm pretty much living in the parasympathetic, and my adrenal glands seem to be way happier. And so I've stopped taking the adrenal support. I take a really high-quality multivitamin every day, 3 of them. I take magnesium every day, and I take my magnesium with my levodopa because that extends the life of the levodopa as well. But it's also really good for sleeping, magnesium is. So if you can, unfortunately, I take it in liquid form, so it's a powder that I mix with water. So when I take it at night for sleeping, inevitably it means I have to get up and go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, which is counter to sleeping, but whatever, you just have to work some of these things out sometimes. It's a little bit forward, a little bit backwards. I take a supplement called MSM with a vitamin C in it because it helps to keep my joints from feeling stiff and sore and aggravated. I take digestive enzymes. I take bee pollen daily. I have not had a cold or the flu or any illness for 5 years now. Nothing, not a thing. I don't get a flu shot. I'm one of the healthiest people I know. The only thing I've got going on is Parkinson's, but other than that, I'm absolutely the healthiest person I know, and I credit bee pollen for that. It's local bee pollen, and it just seems to be like a magic little pill that I take every day. So that's been very helpful. I take a very high-quality fish oil, an EPA fish oil, every day in my morning shake. I take turmeric in my morning shake, which is a neural protective. And in my diet, I have very low sugar, very low dairy, almost completely organic, low protein, high fruit and vegetable. Tons of fruits and vegetables. I'm pretty much fully fruit and vegetable. If you sliced and diced me up, I think that's all you'd find. Yeah. And I can't put any kind of crap in my body anymore. I don't drink coffee. I don't drink alcohol. I don't eat any processed foods. I just can't do it. I can't do that to myself. It's so easy not to do it. It isn't funny. No colas, none of that stuff. I drink tons of water. lots of black tea, which is also something that's supposedly very good, black and green tea. And, yeah, have a very clean, fresh, tasty, delicious diet that I'm quite pleased with. And then the other stuff, I have a list here called Other Stuff. I do a daily yoga practice. At times it was nothing more than simply lying in corpse pose on my yoga mat because that was all I could do. But that's what I would do. Now I'm able to be much more vigorous. I can do all the dogs and cats and plank poses and twists and various leg poses and balancing poses. And it's so exciting to be able to be as vigorous on my yoga mat as I currently am able to. And that, again, has just been since the beginning of July when things absolutely turned around and started to dramatically improve for me. I meditate every day. I sing in a choir. As an artist, I wasn't able to pursue any of my art forms because of my decreased mobility, but I thought, well, maybe I can sing. I'm not a great singer, but that doesn't mean I can't try. So this community choir that started up graciously accepted me, and I got stuck in the tenor section and proceeded to put in a full year of being in the choir. And I don't do the performances because I don't need the stress of performing, and that wasn't the point of being in the choir. The point of being in the choir was to sing and to feel the joy of singing with a group of people, and that has been fabulous. I did, and on the musical note, again, because of your radio station and an interview I listened to by Dr. Susanna Jonas, I signed up for her Parkinson's medical music trial, clinical trial, last winter. I think in January I started it, and I'm still listening to her CD on a daily basis. I completed the trial, which was a 40-day program, and then I asked her if there was any reason for me not to continue with the music, and she couldn't think of any, so I kept it up and increased my dose of music. At points in time in the spring, I was listening to it for 4 hours a day, like in 1 hour intervals.
Ooh, that's a sweet addiction, isn't it?
Oh my goodness, I loved it. Oh my God, there would be days when I just like crave it, absolutely crave listening to this music, and I could just feel the neural trans, my brain changing. I could feel the neural pathways opening up. It was very, very good, and I continued to listen to it every morning for an hour before I get up out of bed, so that's been a wonderful thing. I have something that I do called dog therapy. I have a very dear friend named Zuma. She's a Labradoodle, and she comes for sleepovers. And she kind of hangs out with me, and she's very attentive, and she's kind of like a nurse in some regard. So I make sure I have a Zuma day every week and just thoroughly enjoy having naps with her and just having her company. I get outside in nature as frequently as I can. In fact, I've been sitting in my backyard the whole time we've been talking, enjoying the clouds and the birds and the beautiful sunshine and the leaves rustling. So I'm outside as much as I can possibly get outside. I use prayer. I have a little ritual that I perform every night before I go to sleep. I light a candle and I go through the day and I thank everyone that had anything to do with my day and their ancestors, because if their ancestors hadn't done what they had done, the person that had helped me out that day wouldn't have been there doing what they did. So I just basically thank several million people every night for whatever it was, even if I felt like I had a really lousy day. It's amazing how once I reflect on it at the end of the day and think about this person, that person, this thing, that thing, this happening, that happening, it all seems quite a bit different when I get through that process. And last but absolutely not least, I'm sure there's something I've missed here, but I have been studying quantum healing now for about 8 months. For a while there, I wasn't able to read because I wasn't comfortable enough I couldn't sit in any position comfortably enough, and I couldn't hold a book because I tremored so badly. But about 8 months ago, I was able to start reading again, and since July, when things really started to change around for me, I've been able to read quite voraciously, and I've been reading as much about quantum healing as I can, which I believe is exactly what I'm doing, is quantum healing, believing that at the cellular level that all things are possible. And so there we are, and here I am.
What an amazing and remarkable list.
Well, I think only really one didn't help at all, and that was the physiotherapy that I mentioned helped, because I've so not wanted to have anything to do with him, you know. I guess that's how that's helped. Not that he's not a nice person. He is a nice person. I just haven't wanted to go there, so I think that's helped me the least. And just the belief that people have that it's a neurological, progressively degenerative neurological disorder that's incurable. I mean, that doesn't help at all. And that's bullshit. Total bullshit. I mean, even James Parker, Parkinson's, the founder of the illness, I can't remember the exact quote, but his quote in, I think it was 1817, was something to the effect of, just because we don't know how this illness starts in the body doesn't mean we won't. There is a cause, and as a result of the cause, there is a cure.
Right.
We just have to figure it out. You know, so, I mean, I hate when medical science makes those absolute, this is the way it is, you're going to die. It's crap. It's total crap. The body can heal. The body wants to be in balance. It's up to us to listen very closely to our bodies and learn how to provide our bodies with what our bodies are asking us for.
What conditions or factors are most likely to affect your symptoms?
Well, if I'm out, I've had tremendously positive effects from being out in nature, for sure, absolutely. I have a memory in the wintertime in February, I was out with my friend Jeff, and I was on the sled that I had mentioned earlier, and he was hauling me up some crazy hill out in the middle of a bush somewhere, and it was just spectacular. It was beautiful white snow everywhere, and the sun was beaming down, and we had a picnic with us. We had this special spot. We were going to go and have a lovely picnic. And I just felt so absolutely thrilled and open-hearted and full of love and gratitude. And I came home that day, and I could have climbed a mountain. I was just so full of dopamine, I guess, and all the happy neurotransmitters were flowing through my body. So that's been critical to me, being out in nature. Likewise, I had and I think this is what helped me immensely in July. I got an opportunity to spend a day with friends canoeing on the Grand River, which is a river very close to my home. It's quite a it's quite a grand river, as it's called. And it was quite a long day, and we had a picnic, and we had Zuma, the dog, was along for the ride, and several boats, and it was just one of those perfect days. And I came home from that experience again just feeling absolutely and totally filled to the brim with gratitude to billions of people for having made that day possible for me. And I think that in itself is just extraordinarily helpful, being outside and recognizing the splendor of our world around us, the natural world, has been very helpful to me. Singing has been helpful, despite the fact that I'm not great at it. I just love it. I just absolutely love being with that group of people making music. Stressful situations, like things like I have to be very careful with, I can't tire myself out, so I have to monitor how many activities I do in a day very carefully. I have to make sure that I'm in bed, you know, before 10 o'clock at night, most nights. I mean, I can occasionally burn the midnight oil until 10:30, but certainly not past midnight. That's not a possibility for me anymore, and I have to stick with that. Not always easy, because there's lots of things going on that I'd love to participate in, but if I want to be well, I have to make sure that I'm in bed and getting lots of rest. I have to make sure that I drink lots of water. If I don't drink water, I can definitely feel things aren't working properly, and I start to, I just don't feel well. I stop feeling as well as I need to feel. But there's nothing like, you know, there's no, if I do this, then this will happen. That doesn't seem to be the case. It's just sort of really general common sense. I'm ill. I may not always look ill, but I am ill, and I'm recovering from a very serious illness, and I have to make sure that I respect and honor that on a daily basis.
What would you want to say to someone who has just been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease?
Oh, man, I don't know. Part of me is, you know, I want to say you have my condolences, because it's not easy. It's definitely not easy. And another part of me would say there's an opportunity of a lifetime ahead of you to learn something that you don't already know about yourself. I don't know what that is. Everybody's got something to learn about themselves, for sure. I certainly have learned ample about myself through this illness. But I guess maybe I would say don't believe what they tell you. If it's negative, just don't believe it. You know more than they do. It's your body.
What are your plans for the coming years?
Well, it's interesting timing of that question, Robert. I have been just because of my improvements in the last couple of months, I've actually been able to entertain that question. I have not been able to do that up to since July. I've been able to entertain that question, but prior to that, there has just been no possible way that I could have thought about what I was going to do in the future. There was no future. The future was the present moment. That was it. That's where I was. That's as far as I could get, the present moment. So now I'm actually kind of wondering what the heck I'm going to do with myself. And I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do with this information that I have gleaned, being a pioneer as I am in this recovering from Parkinson's. I'm not sure how to package this information. I don't want to do anything on spec. Like people say, oh, you've got to write a book. And I say, have you ever met anybody that's made any money writing a book? And then they stop talking. So I'm not so sure that, even though I am a writer, I'm not so sure that that's the right way to go. My continuing health is paramount importance, so whatever I do, it cannot in any way, shape, or form interfere with my healing, and it absolutely cannot have a negative effect on my health, so I have to be very mindful of that. But there's got to be something, you know. I don't know. Certainly won't be a professional singer. That's not going to be in my book. But I'm not sure. I'm not entirely sure, but something will come, I think. Just the way this whole situation that I've been in for the last 8 years has unfolded, when I look back on it, I can see that it has unfolded in a very interesting way, and I expect it will continue to unfold in a really interesting way, and I'm quite confident that something really positive is going to come from this, because as they say, the highs are as high as the lows are low, and it's been pretty darn low for a long time, so I'm looking forward to a big high.
Those highs are around the corner, Sue.
Yeah.
Tell people about your blog.
Back in when I was in my 40s, I started going through menopause, and I couldn't remember a darn thing, so I thought, well, let's be very practical. I'm a relatively practical person. Why not blog about your life so that you can at least remember what you're doing day to day? So I started blogging about my menopausal experience and expanding it to include different things that I learned about menopause, alternative therapies, et cetera, that would be helpful, I thought, for people. And I gained quite a following with my menopause blog and was doing quite well until I just simply couldn't do it anymore. I just couldn't type anymore. I physically couldn't sit at my computer comfortably, and I couldn't, my fingers stopped moving, so I was no longer able to type. But again, I keep saying this over and over again because I'm still quite delighted with it. The last 3 months have changed dramatically, and I'm now able to type again. I'm not really fast, but I am able to type. So I started the menopause blog again. I'm calling it the post-menopause blog because I've managed to get through that time or that phase of my life. And I thought perhaps I might start to talk a little bit about this experience of Parkinson's that I've just had. But I'm just not sure. I've made a stab at it. I've written about 6 or 7 posts in the last couple of weeks. And I will admit that I haven't been feeling like I have to get to the computer and I have something really important to say. I just haven't been getting that feeling. Whereas historically when I was writing the blog, I couldn't wait to get to the page every day. I loved writing it. It was an integral part of my day. So I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do with it, but it's there right now for anybody who wants to check it out. It's www.mymenopauseblog.com. Or you can just type in menopause and Sue Richards and it'll come up. It'll be the first site that shows up. So that's that. I have another blog too, but it's a joint blog with two other women, and it's based on my city where I live here in Ontario, and it's a photo blog, and we post photos on a daily basis of things that are happening around the city or photos that but we have about 150 photographers that contribute to the blog, and we post their photos, so it's quite good. And it's www.blogguelph.com. And you know, it's I call it my dessert blog. It's very easy. You just go, you look at the pretty pictures, and you can go away again, and you don't. Your brain doesn't hurt.
Your brain doesn't hurt.
Yeah, you haven't really learned anything, but you've been amused for a few minutes while you've been looking at the photographs.
And maybe made a little dopamine in the process.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
What have I neglected to ask you that I should ask
you
now?
Oh, actually, I have one more website that I should probably mention, and it was when I mentioned the fact that I have this community support helping me out with my situation, specifically with my financial situation, helpingfriends.ca is a website that some friends set up for me, and there's a little bit more information about me on that website if your listeners are interested. And it just, if they were interested in having something similar set up for themselves, just to see what the template looks like, my friends have set it up so that people can subscribe to me through PayPal at a set amount of money, like $10 or $20 a month for a 2-year time period, and it's all very automatic and it's all very seamless and easy. So that might be a good resource for people to look at and possibly duplicate for themselves if they're in a similar situation to what I'm in.
That's www.helpingfriends.ca.
That's correct.
Sue, thank you very much for being with us on the show today.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Thank you for asking me.